We haven't done this in a while, but I love food. And so this is Cooking Time with Pastor Jeff. Last year, the big item was the Instapot. Everybody was buying, we didn't buy into the craze in our house. I got friends all around me that had the Instapot. I started seeing this one blow up on TikTok this year. The air fryer has become like the thing. And to be honest, I really wanted nothing to do with it. I love my stove. I love my oven. I love my grill. We grill all year round, like through the winter. I'm out there, negative degrees, I'm on the grill. Like, but Santa got me an air fryer for Christmas. So, you know, Santa supplies, so we got to use it. And we love wings in our house. I love hot wings. You know, some of them can't handle the heat, but that's all right. But we're family, and but we love dry rubs. So we went to the store, we grabbed a couple dry rubs, and my son Jordan was having New Year's Eve party, and so we wanted to do some dry rub hot wings for the kids, and so we tried out these four, and man, can I just tell you, super tasty. I mean, on the left, I don't know if you can see that very well. If you're in person online, it looks a little clearer. The Jamaican jerk, Caribbean jerk, Rob. Come on and give him some praise. So good. And then the Chipotle roasted garlic. Trust me, it's worth it. And so those two, like all of us, we were full in. And by the time we were done, we had to like be rolled out of our chairs. Like, it was really good. So we hunkered down those two, the Caribbean jerk and the roasted garlic. We did those for the high school students that showed up at our house, and they were the hit. We got pizza. There was like so much pizza left over because they were all into this. So listen, Santa, thank you for the air fryer. It was worth it. Now I'm eating healthy, and so now that your mouth is like hopefully thoroughly watering right now, let's talk about fasting. So this has been on the agenda for a while, starting this coming Friday, sundown the 14th to sundown the 21st. We're going to do an all-church fast. And so I wanted to talk to us about fasting this morning. And John Piper puts fasting this way: Christian fasting is at its root is a hunger of homesickness for God. I love that. I thought that, oh, it's really good. Hunger for a homesickness for God. And I don't know about you, but with this confession to you that I love food, there's sometimes, I really believe this, sometimes when we think we're craving food, our soul is really craving time with the Creator. Sometimes when we think we're hungry, we're not really physically hungry. Our body is telling us it wants time with the Creator. And so I want to talk to us about fasting this morning. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 6. One is the story of Jesus and fasting. The other is Jesus talking about fasting. And then we're going to give some do's and don'ts before we come to this Friday. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, we're going to read to verse 11. It says, starting in verse 1, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Lord Jesus, I just ask as we spend this time looking over these passages of Scripture this morning, that our minds and our souls would come into alignment with you, that we would hear clearly from you today, that you would give great instruction to our souls so that we can yield to you and through you. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's just highlight a couple of things that we just read. First of all, the chapter right before is the story of Jesus being baptized. And Jesus got baptized to identify with us, his creation. He purposely chose to commit to that. He asked those of us who believe in him to be baptized. And so he submitted to that as well. This right here in chapter 4 is right before Jesus starts his public ministry. So he's baptized, the announcement comes, this is my son who I'm well pleased, and then he goes and he spends 40 days in the wilderness with God, and he's tempted. It says he was led by the Spirit to fast and to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. So I love that he spends 40 days and 40 nights, and then it says the tempter came. Now, it's not to say that the devil might have been trying stuff before then, but it seems like the focus and the core attention that Jesus had was on the Father, and then the enemy of all our souls came. And notice that the devil is tempting him and not God. The devil is tempting him and not God. God does not tempt us. He doesn't. And the balance to this is, I've heard this phrase said a lot of times, God won't give you more than you can handle. That's not true. We'll get more than we can handle a lot of times in our lives. It draws our dependency to him. So absolutely, you will experience things in your life that you cannot handle on your own. The creator of the universe is trying to draw your attention to him. And the devil comes at him with three temptations, and I think there are three temptations that he throws at us too. The first of which is flesh, physical, food, hunger. Within that context, right? You're hungry. Hey, come and do this. Focus on this. Focus on the hungers of the world and not on God. The second is like pride, prestige, glory. You want your name to be, come on, let your name be praised. The third are things, stuff, coveting. And this is how Jesus handles them. First, the hunger one. If you're really God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus responds. He responds with scripture. He always responds with scripture. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by the word of God. Like I said before, like sometimes we think we're hungering and thirsting for physical things, and really we're hungering and thirsting for time with the Creator. The second here, pride. If you are the Son of God, hey, throw yourself down. The angels will protect you. And Jesus' response, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The enemy loves to get in our brain and kind of pump ourselves up and make us think that we are the main character, that life is a movie and we're the main character and everything revolves around us. And it's just simply not true. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. We were meant to live in community with him and community with one another. We are not solo islands where the world revolves around us. And Jesus draws the attention back to the Father. And lastly, possessions, things, coveting. Hey, listen, I'll give all this to you. Just bow down and worship me. His response, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Sometimes our focus and our attention gets on stuff and things and possessions, and that steals our attention and our focus away from relationship, which is really what we're created for. All these earthly things will pass away, but the Lord never will. And so when the enemy comes at us in all these different capacities, Jesus' response in each and every single one of these was to respond back with scripture. Respond back with scripture. Respond back with scripture. If you were with us present last week at the door, you were passed out a verse for the year. And if you didn't get one, we have some available. If you're watching with us online and you want one, we'll have Kyle send you one. Mine for this year was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The context of that verse is I can do all things. I can trust in God whether in need or in want, whether in plenty or in need. But the fuller context that the verse follows into every area of my life. I can trust God with every single scenario. So I have this great verse that anytime this year the enemy tries to throw something in my face, I can just respond back. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Shut your mouth, enemy of my soul. I don't need to listen to you. I've got Christ. Love it. Let's keep going. The next passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This comes from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 16 through verse 18. It says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So let's just look at this for a second. So it says whenever you fast, the context, when you fast. So the thought process is in a relationship with God, you will fast at some point. And the fast here is a religious practice abstaining from food and drink. We'll talk more about that but the original intent of fasting was to give up food and drink, food and water or liquid, and to yield that time to God. And it says, don't make yourself look bad to be noticed, because then your reward is the attention that gets drawn to you. And this is not to say that you can't tell people you're fasting. Like, we're telling you, hey, we're going to do a fast from the 14th through the 21st. It's not that we're saying, hey, listen, don't. It's not that Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you can't tell people you're fasting. It's that the attention is not to be drawn to yourself. So you shouldn't walk around going, oh, woe is me, hoping that somebody will say to you, hey, what's going on? You go, oh, I'm fasting. I'm so religious. I'm fasting. Which seems to be what has taken place here from the religious people in the temple. They would fast because it was a rhythm. They would fast, but they wanted people to know how pious, how religious, how upright they were. And that's not the focus of a fast. So it's not that you can't tell people that you're doing it. It should be between you and God, because the purpose is this relationship. So let's talk about some do's and don'ts of fasting. So what fasting is not. This is really important. Josh, if you could throw that up there. What fasting is not. It's not a way to suffer for God. We're not talking about suffering for God. That's not the point. It's not a spiritual practice to prove how much you love God. God will never love you more or less than he does right now. He'll never love you more or less than he does right now. Than he does right now, than he does right now. So fasting is not going to make God love you more. He already loves you infinitely. It's not righteousness. It's not equivalent to holiness. It's not trying hard to get God's attention. It's not addiction treatment program. It's not a weight loss plan. It will be successful for your physical body if you take it too far. Simply put, Ben Sternke puts it this way. He's a pastor and author. A way to place ourselves in the way of grace by withdrawing our reliance on earthly things so that we can feast on God's presence and power. I love that. So why should we fast? Why should we do it? First of all, it was an expectation, a discipline in the Old and New Testament. I want to say this again. Christianity is not a religion of have-tos, it's a relationship of want-tos. All right, so any spiritual discipline, as they come to be known as, is not so we can be more pious or we can show God more love. It's a rhythm of putting ourselves in a position to hear from God. This was a discipline in Old and New Testament. Those who followed God found themselves involved in this on a regular basis. To humble yourself before God, for intimacy with God. It enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition, resulting in brokenness, repentance, and transformation. Our third value is we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. And fasting, I really believe, puts us in a position to hear clearly from God the things that he wants to remove from our lives so that we can be more dependent on him. It transforms your prayer life into a richer and more personal experience. Trust me, when you fast, Jesus, help me. For spiritual insight on certain situations or circumstances or needs for answers. Sometimes people fast because they really are struggling to discern an answer to a situation, whether you have to make a big decision on a move, a job, those kind of things. Sometimes putting yourself in a position of fasting, we can hear a little more clearly from God. And it strengthens our dependency on God. When you remove food from your life, which your body physically needs, and put yourself in dependency on God, your reliance on him increases. I've done several extended day fasts in my life. And I had to build up to that, and we'll talk about ways that we can fast as we get into this. But I had to build up to that, and sometimes I've gotten myself in these rhythms of, all right, hey, I'm going to fast. And so I start fasting, and I realize that over years of doing this, that I generally, when I do an extended fast, I lose some weight. And I've got a dad bod issue. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm going to do a fast knowing that, hey, I'll probably lose some good weight. It'll be good catalyst. And a couple years ago, I was doing a fast. I was going to do a whole full week fast. And I found myself getting on the scale every single morning and going, yeah, I lost 5 pounds today. And my focus became completely on the weight loss. It had nothing to do with God. So I literally cut my fast halfway through because I realized this is not the reason you fast. The reason you fast is dependency. Put yourself in a position of dependency on God. And so I literally was like, all right, I'm focused on the wrong thing, so I'm not going to do this. And I regroup, and I went and did it later. And then other times I've done these extended fasts, and I realized, I don't know if you've ever done an extended fast in your life, but once you get to like day three, it generally takes about 3 days to detox all the stuff that's in your body. So by day three, my wife's ready to kill me because I've detoxed all the caffeine and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not a nice person to be around, so that's one of my goals during this fast, that I'm going to put myself in a position in alignment with God and try not to be that person. But once you get past that detox phase, there's something that takes place in your life where your mind becomes just a little more clear. And it does, I'm telling you, it does open up clearer, more in tune to the things that God has to say to you. I just found myself when I get in those kind of positions, when I'm reading scripture, when I'm praying, things seem to shift away. And my alignment with him becomes more and more clear. And when I've done extended beyond a week, I've gotten to that day seven, and my mind has just completely opened up, and I've had these amazing times with God where things become even that much more clear. So for us this week, we've been saying this, that as we've come into this new year, starting on the 14th through the 21st, sundown to sundown, we want to do an extended 7-day fast as a church. And I know some of you are terrified, and so I want to give some possibilities for you, because I don't think anybody should just dive right into this. I said this, I had to work my way up to this. Until I was like in my 30s, I'd never done a fast before. I'd seen and read about it in scripture. I went to seminary, people talked about it, and I just decided that's not for me. I love food. And so I had to get myself to a position of going, okay, God, I trust you in this. So I just, all right, one day I'm going to give up a meal. I'm not going to eat lunch today. I'm just going to spend that time praying and reading and talking to the Lord. And then, hey, I'm going to give up two. I'm going to go to bed. I'm not going to do breakfast or lunch. And then I'm going to do dinner. And I've done that for a couple days. And then I worked myself up to, hey, I can do 30 hours. I'm going to go 30 hours. And then I worked myself up to 3 days, and then 4 days, and then I did an extended past a week fast. So as we go into this thing, here's some possibilities for you, our response, right? If you're going to do food, you've never done this before, I'd really encourage you to take it easy. Give up one meal. If you're in a rhythm of three meals, give up one of them and take that time during that meal time to sit, pray, read, listen, whatever your rhythm of hearing from God well is, do that. If you've done that before, hey, try two meals. If you've done that, try 3 days. Over the course of this week, from the 14th through the 21st, I'd really encourage you to choose something during that time frame to give up in order to be reliant on God during that time. Some people do social media. Some of us need to. Maybe it's TV. Maybe we just need to shut the tube off. Maybe there's another item that has become so important to your rhythm, and we've gotten focused on that item. And, hey, take the week, give that item up. That could be a food item. It could be something else. A couple years ago, we were doing an extended fast, and somebody was like, Jesus never, that we know of, got to rest his head on a bed. It said in Scripture there was nowhere for him to rest his head. So they literally slept on the floor for a week, and they gave up their bed for a week. Also, that put them in a position of understanding what people around the world find themselves in as well when they don't have a bed to rest in. Whatever it is, I do want to say this. This is between you and God, right? Whatever you decide to do, it's between you and the Lord. But I'd encourage you, starting Friday to the following Friday, to join us in this rhythm. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, our desire this year is to put ourselves in positions to hear from you and to hear from you well. Lord, I ask that right now, as people are sitting and they've listened, maybe they've heard about fasting for the first time, maybe they're contemplating it for the first time. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would come in alignment with them and that you would speak clearly to them about your desire for them to know you better. Speak clearly to them about what to give up for the week, from the 14th through the 21st, so that our trust and reliance on you can be strengthened. We pray this in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Amen.